Okay, begin.
The topic we're going to discuss the next few shiurim is a well-known topic and one that has been explored many, many times from many different angles. We'll simply attempt to review the basics, which probably are familiar to all of you, and then we will hopefully introduce one or two new elements. And from an agadic perspective, I'll share with you as well that which I was zochah to hear decades ago from Hagoyin Rabban Halevi Soloveitchik, the brother of my distinguished Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rav, the younger brother. And perhaps we'll also attempt to explore one or two new angles. But the bulk of the material is what is known as Lekutei Basa Lekutei. So I'm not telling any chidushim, but perhaps we'll just simply review some of the salient material that's familiar to all of us. The Mishnah in Kedusha and Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, which is on page one of this, of the Maamar Kamos, a well-known Mishnah that describes the obligations that a father has to a child. And the Gemara there quotes a Braisa on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, the Tanur Rabban, Ha'ov Chayiv Bibno Lemolo Lifdoso Ulalam Do Torah Ulahasiyo Isha. Father is obligated regarding his son to circumcise him and to do the Pidyon HaBen, to teach him Torah and to marry him. And then there is another obligation devolving upon the father, Ulalam Do Umnes, to teach him a trade, teach him a craft, a profession.
Okay, thanks for your help. Okay, well, one way or another, we'll get something done.
Trei Kodi Lo Mishtami. But the Gemara says, Hechad Chavivi. Where it's Chaviv, then it works. So it's always Chaviv. V'yesh Omrim Af L'Hashito B'Mayim. Another opinion, the Gemara says, even to teach him how to swim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol She'enu Malamin Espino Umnes Malam Lo Listus. If one does not teach his child a craft, a trade, Keilu is teaching him brigandry, to be a listin. Listin generally in Chazal often is associated with listin mezuyan, with armed robbery and the like. Says the Gemara, listin sokodaitoch. What do you mean? Just because I didn't teach my child the trade, that's keilu. I taught him listos. Elo keilu malam do listos. As Rashi explains there, in the upper part of page number one, the kevin de elo umnis. The yechsar lachmo, person doesn't have the wherewithal to survive, to sustain himself. Yelech pepashas drochim v'yelastim es habrios. God forbid, one will be compelled, one will be constrained to literally stand at the crossroads and chas v'sholem engage in brigandry, engage in listus, in thievery and the like. The Gemara has a machlokes, if you look in the upper left-hand corner of the page, later on in Kedusha and Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara comments on this Braisa. When the Braisa speaks about Lamda Umnes, so there's a Machlokes Tanoim, whether if a father teaches his son, not the Lashon which the Gemara uses, Umnes, but rather Iska, some sort of a business enterprise that the father helps set his son up in some sort of a business enterprise. Just Derech Agav, I'll mention that in my yeshiva, I interview all the Shana Aleph students every single year. And Baruch Hashem, we have a fair number of Shana Aleph students this year, approximately 85 or so. And in the course of interviewing them, so years ago, it was very common that I would interview students and they would tell me this one wants to be a doctor, several doctors, several lawyers, psychiatrists, and the like. Today, almost non-existent are those professions. And rather, there's only one profession that seems to be in the vogue, and that is iska. I'll translate it in four or five different ways. Investments, financial areas, accountants, b'chulu b'chulu. What is the common denominator? Hakesed, yaneh sakol. So I guess that's what the Gemara is talking about when the Gemara speaks of iska. I sometimes maintain that Hakesed, not Yaneh, but Yaneh. One has to know Cheshem Mishpat before one goes into the area of having to do with Mammon, as it's called, because otherwise one could be Nichshal in many, many areas of Halacha. That's what they say over that once a sheikhet came to Abisal Salant and indicated that he was not happy with the profession. He wanted to go into some sort of business and he thought it would be much easier. So Abisal Salant told him, in Yardaya, Hilchot Shechita is not so complicated. There are five halachot of Moshe Mesinai. One has to be cognizant of, one has to be ma'amin yado v'shechita, and once one has gone over that hurdle, it's not so difficult. But Chesh HaMishpat is oylam umloya. There's so many possible michshelim, mishaps that one could violate in the course of being involved in Chesh HaMishpat that it requires an enormous amount of study. Anyway, the Gemara here speaks of the issue of iska. Take a look at the Gemara in the upper left-hand corner. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol shein malam na umnin malam na listus, listus lakadaito ki ilu malam na listus. May be nayu, if he teaches them a profession, is that called teaching one son umnis? So here we have a machlokas. We pass it like the Tanakama, that if you teach a son some sort of business acumen, that's fine. And that's how the Magen Avraham passes in the Rechaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav. That's how the Rif and the Rush bring down the halacha as well at the end of the sugya. And that's how the Karban Nesanel cites. It's very fascinating. Just for a moment, if you'll take a look in page number 2 of this handout, in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, which is the Siman after Kuf Nun Hei. We spent a fair amount of time studying Siman Kuf Nun Hei a few weeks ago, and Kuf Nun Vav is the next Siman, and there's a famous Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham compiles a list of all kinds of what seem to be items that are not necessarily connected one with the other, all kinds of disparate items. At the end of Siman Kuf Nun Vav. So on page number 2, the Magen Avraham, towards the right-hand column in the middle of the page, he refers to this Gemara, and he writes, in the context of discussing this Gemara, so, Upir Shrashi, the Fisha Adam Tzarech Lissasi B'Deracheretz, Shemein Deracheretz Ein Torah. That's a Mishnah, well-known Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Shemein Deracheretz Ein Torah. The term Deracheretz has many, many different meanings in Shas, and in general, in both Talmudic parlance and the world at large, several meanings are well known to us. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, of course, refers to one's deportment, one's conduct, how one should behave in terms of primarily the area of midos. And then Derech Eretz could refer to Beino LeBeino. And then Derech Eretz could also refer to that one needs a parnasa, one needs a livelihood. So there are many translations, and depending on the context, so the Magen Avraham here says, "Emein derech eretz ein Torah, hutzvach likvo itim haTorah, b'davar kotzu, shalom yimashe kol hayom l'derech eretz." One should not spend one's entire day involved in one's whatever particular umnis or craft or business that one is involved in. One should make sure he sets aside a fixed amount of time to study Torah. Mashma, d'mishen hutzvach likach chayim l'kayim v'gisa v'yom v'alayla. Ayin b'yardeya, simi reshim edvav. He refers you to the dinim of Hilchos Talmud Torah in Yardeya, that if one is able to get by without spending an enormous amount of time involved in the business pursuits and the like, so then one should try to maximize one's ability to study Torah to the fullest extent, both day and night. He quotes the Gemara in Kedushin here, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that we just mentioned, that Chayav Adam L'Olam Yibino Umnus of Lifsok B'Schora. So here he says clearly the Magen Avraham that Schora is also considered to be acceptable. You may also can kilim lamu listim. So in the middle of this rather lengthy list of items that the Magen Avraham has, he also cites his psak with reference to iska. Now, the most famous question that's asked, and that's the question we're going to focus on this evening, there is a well-known stira, a well-known contradiction, and this contradiction is addressed by literally Gdoli HaRishonim, Gdoli HaAchronim. Everyone weighs in on the contradiction, which is very well-known to all of us. Namely, here we just saw a Gemara that obviously the Gemara speaks about the obligation of a father vis-a-vis his son to teach his son Torah. Look towards the bottom of page 1 in the Gemara Kedusha and Daf Pei Beis, and also a famous Mishnah, that the Mishnah begins, Kol She'asoka v'manoshim. The Mishnah is talking about issues relating to Yichud and also issues relating to males in professions that involve women. And the Gemara there speaks about Rav Meir's very famous statement that one should teach his child umnus nikiya v'kala. Nikiya v'kala, the Gemara actually discusses what exactly that is. But ultimately, one has to daven, one has to pray to Hashem, says the Gemara, l'misha oisha v'anachasim shalom. Shein umnus, shein bo anius, v'ashiros, shelo anius min omnis v'lo ashiris min omnis. At the end of the day, it doesn't really focus so much on that which a person tends often to think, that it's my particular profession that will hopefully catapult me to great heights, to great wealth and the like. That's not how it works. The Gemara says, el hakol lefi schuso. It depends on a person's chusim, on their merits. And the Gemara continues, and the well-known statement of Rav Shimon Elazar, Ra'isa bi'amecha chayvov sheish lem umnes, same as Banas and Shlomo Tzar. Why is it that the curse given to other Rishon, b'zeh savera toch alechem, was not given to animals, was not given to, the way again, the Ramban has four categories at the beginning of Bereshis, domim, tzomea, chay, medaber, only medaber, only the medabrim, the Ramban calls them the mutakalimun, those that have the koach, of the ability to articulate ideas based on the logos, namely human beings, only we were saddled with this curse. But animals, chayos, ophos, we don't see they have any profession. They seem to have panosa, shalom bitzar, halo lo nivro el lisham sheni. They, in effect, were created for the purpose of serving the human being. Vanini v'resi l'shamish es koni, and I, the human being, was created to serve Hashem. Eini dinshe espani shalom bitzar. There's a kind of kalvachoma here that I should also have panosa without any difficulty. Ella shaharati masa v'kipachti es panososi. And this ostensibly refers to the chet adam harishon and the curse that Hashem articulated, b'zeh asapecha toch alechem, and that is the situation at hand. The Mishnah continues the types of professions that one should try to avoid, and then the Mishnah has a famous statement of Rabbi Noroi, and here's where the contradiction that all ask literally an outright stira. Rabbi Noroi omer, meniach ani kol umanu shebaolam, and melamin es b'ni el Torah. Rabbi Noroi contends that the only profession that one should occupy oneself with is study of Torah. Shadar ochel mischar abolam azeh, that one receives the schar in this world, and of course as well, v'akeren kayem es olam abo, ushar kol umnes eno kein. Other types of professions don't have that kind of ultimate reward, neither in this world nor in the next world. When a person, God forbid, becomes ill, or he becomes enfeebled or older, or he's plagued with all types of yisurim, physical trials and tribulations, he can't work. So then, God forbid, he may ultimately die as a result of hunger. He's not able to provide for himself. But the person who studies Torah through his entire life, Mishamarto Mikova, it's able to protect him, to guard him, to safeguard him. Benaruso, Benosenoso Achri Sitiko Bezignuso. Benaruso Maome, Bekovi Hashem Achrivu Koach, Bezignuso Maome, O Yuru Beseva, Bechenu Omri Babu Mavino, Yabram Zoki, Bashem Berachas Abram Bakol, and we see Abram Mavino carried out the entire Torah. So here we have a statement of Rab Noroi that he's going to abandon every umnus in the world and will only engage with his son in the study of Torah. And this obviously is an outright contradiction to that which we saw earlier, that there's an obligation to teach one son umnis. Of course, it doesn't mean, as we pointed out, that one should completely abandon the realm of the Limud HaTorah. Both are required, both are necessary. But here we have a fascinating statement of Rav Noroi. Meiniach ani kol umnis sheba'olam ve'melamid es b'ni al HaTorah. So this position of Rav Noroi seemingly is not quoted by Halacha, neither by the Rambam, nor the Shulchan Aruch. So it's clear that the other din that we saw earlier, that's mentioned in the Braisa, the obligation of a father to teach his child the umnus, that is what's quoted by Halacha. But we have obviously an outright contradiction between these two statements. So there are many, many resolutions to this contradiction. We'll mention in the course of the shir a number of them. I'm not going through all the resolutions of this contradiction. The resolutions are literally multifold and multifarious, multicolored and multi-hued. There's so many of them. It's amazing to see how the Dol Yisrael waited on this issue. But I would like to examine a few of them for our purposes. On page number 3, you will see the Bi'a Halacha on the upper left-hand corner. The Bi'a Halacha asked this question, and he raised the question in the context of a famous Gemara that's found in Maseches Brachos. But let's just read the language of the Bi'a Halacha. He writes, because this is referring to a din in Shulchan Aruch, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, actually, which happens to be quoted of all places in Hilchos Shabbos. If you take a look at page number 2 for a moment, maybe we'll read the halacha first, that in Hilchos Shabbos, in Siman Shin Vav, on the bottom of the page, of page number 2, the Mechaber in Shin Vav deals with different types of items that are permissible on Shabbos that are not permissible on Shabbos. So he writes in Sif Vav, Chetze Shamayim Mutal Adaber Behem, Cheshvene Shal Mitzvah, V'lisol Tzlokah, L'fakeach Aliske Rabim, L'shadech Atinok Le'orei. Some of these are mentioned in the Zmiras of Shabbos. If you recall, undoubtedly you do. And L'lamdo Sefer Ha'umnes, also mentioned in the Zmiras of Shabbos. So here we have a praise of a number of dinim, and one of them is L'lamdo Sefer Ha'umnes, that you're allowed to do with the child on Shabbos. Umnes, says the Mishnah Berurah directly below on the bottom of page 2, Duhunam Yosik B'mitzvah. The Imen La'umnes Osik B'gozel. He essentially cites the Gemara and Kedushin that we mentioned. If he's not going to be involved in some type of umnes, so then Rachmanu Litzlan, then it might lead to thievery, brigandry, as we mentioned earlier. So now on page number 3, the Mishnah Berurah, after we see the halach is very clear, L'lam no sefer ha'umnes, so on this he comments, he writes, Dada Tanoim Mifligu B'zehainim B'gemara, that this is a machlogis Tanoim, as we mentioned at the very beginning of the year, machlogis in the Gemara there in Kedushin, machlogis in the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Iska, and the Mishnah Berurah goes on, B'yei Sovim Nitzarech Ha'av L'lamid L'bno Torah, some say a person should teach his son Torah, V'gam L'lam no'umnes, and also a profession. He mentions the Psak Halacha, that even entering into a business opportunity is also acceptable. So we see that Torah is something which, of course, has an eternal kind of element to it. It's netzach, unlike in umnes. And the Mishnah Berurah continues the bir halacha. Mikol makom gam zeh shemalav l'mda umnes sarach l'kol yama l'mda mitchila. The gam be'eshu osid mimalachta torah v'yishamayim. Doesn't mean that the two are actually going to be set apart one from the other. But concurrently, it's possible for a person to go ahead, engage in the study of Torah, and at the same time also have a panasa, sustain himself. Just derech agav, an editorial comment, this is a subject of a lot of discussion among the Gdolei Achronim, that what should be the ideal in terms of a young man who's beginning in terms of his limudim, let's say at a very young age, he's obviously not at that point going to be involved per se in melacha until he gets a bit older. But in general, should there be both secular studies and the Mudei Kodesh that are essentially operating concurrently, simultaneously. This is an old machlekes, but I'll just note to you that even the Gedolei Yisrael, who are in favor of secular studies, which will lead to Parnasa, but many of them felt that they should not be in any way, they should not be interspersed one with the other. Each one should be studied separately. First, we should have a foundation of Torah. That's how Hagoyin Rav Kook Zatzal writes any number of times in his swarm. He was not opposed to a person engaging in umnes and malacha and even engaging in secular studies, but he felt that the two reigns, never the twain shall meet, that one should not actually mix the two different disciplines. Torah is the foundation, and on top of that, one could also study umnes and the like, but it should be done in a separate kind of way. And most likely later, the earlier period should be spent studying Torah. The Netziv also in the Tshuva, and Meshav Dover writes of a similar nature. And there are many who contended that this is the correct option that one should do. It's Yadua, the Yeshiva in Valozhin was closed, actually. They wanted to introduce the Russian language and some other secular courses as well. And the Netziv, the Rosh Yeshiva, was very opposed to it. So I understood that inherently he was not opposed to, per se, whatever particular secular element was going to be introduced, but he just felt it was not appropriate to do it together with the study of Torah. The study of Torah should be something which is exclusive in nature, and this, as you know, is the subject of an enormous amount of machloket, and there's an enormous amount of literature on this topic. There are different schools of thought, and we're not going to discuss that. That's not the topic for this evening. If you're interested, there's a very beautiful sefer, a biography of Shimshon Ferl Hirsch, written by an outstanding Talmud Chacham, a Rav in Yerushalayim, Harav Klugman. Harav Klugman is an outstanding Talmud Chacham, and he's someone actually who was Meshamesh, one of the Gdoli Ador. Rav Gershon Edelstein, the Rashi Ponovich, had a brother who was the Rav Ramat HaSharon, Hagoyin of Yankov Edelstein. And Rav Klugman was Zeicher, Rav Leon Klugman was Zeicher to learn with him on an ongoing basis for many, many years. So he's a Rav in a very well-known shul, Anglo-Saxon area in the Ramat Eshkol in Yerushalayim. And he's also comes from a Yeki family. And he wrote a beautiful biography of Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, an absolutely fantastic biography of Leviani Yizdaiti, written in English, written very well. And essentially there he explores the thesis of Hagoyin Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, Rav Aziel Hildesheimer, the Gedolim of Germany, who believed in, to pronounce it correctly, Torah and Derech Eretz. We have to have this mix of Torah and Derech Eretz. And of course, this mix is markedly different than other hashkafis, which I'm not going to pursue at this point in time, maybe on another occasion. Some call it Torah Umada. Others have different names for it, Torah V'chochma. So this is the source of the famous, famous machlokes already going back several hundred years among Dolei Yisrael. But back to the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah points out here that we have, and he alludes essentially, as we'll see in a moment, to this issue, namely the Machlokes Tanoim, and we passed it not like Rav Noroi, and he goes on that it's possible to do both, and then he says, because if a person does not know Choshen Mishpat, let's use that as an example, as we mentioned earlier, a person will violate Isurim, Choshen Mishpat, if he's not familiar with the halachas, he's in business. He doesn't know about ribbis. He doesn't know about how to do a halva properly. He doesn't know about inyan ishtaros and the like. The gam ota kolos rabbis and pitz sadas the gam ichas v'chalila. Ubefrat biyamenu shakol mispazim nimkomos harbe asherin am Yisrael show me das term etzion shem. People are scattered in the four corners of the globe. Wonderful, outstanding, observant Jews. If lo yed kavua benafshu menuah v'yediyas hatorah shmiras hamitzis alul chas v'chalila sheichal shabbos b'malachos gemur sheish bem chiyus gila. One does not know Hilchos Shabbos, Al Burio. God forbid, Rachman al Islam, one could be led to Hilchos Shabbos. Vafilu b'limud ha-Torah she'yadua she'imagni u'matzli min ha-chet armu kol Torah she'edim ha-malacha hu'adin eze eze gamkin u'b'chla ha-malacha v'kanal b'shem shita al-gibarim sofa b'tehlu v'gara ha-sam and kol shkeim b'limud ha-Torah below Torah b'vali gara ha-savonos. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah essentially weighs in on this issue, namely the issue of how do you reconcile Rav Noroi's statement with the earlier statement that you require umnas. And Mishnah Berurah says that there's a machlokes tanoim, and we pass them like the Braisa and Daf Chavtes, not like Rav Noroi, and one should engage in malacha. Again, in terms of the formula, each one has to find their own formula which works best for them. Of course, one should try to maximize the study of Torah at every stage, at every level, and if one is in a position where one could learn and one could actually spend most of one's day learning. It's Yadua, the Rambam, who writes that you have a 12-hour day. So 9 hours are devoted to the study of Torah and 3 hours are devoted to Malacha. Obviously, the Rambam lived in a different era than we do. Clearly, the Rambam was not necessarily al-Quran with what is happening with Zmanenu Anu. And the Rambam himself was a doctor. And you read some of the letters of the Rambam where he describes his incredibly grueling schedule. It's amazing when he found time to learn Torah and Bechlai to write all those unbelievable, productions, literally. I don't know how else to describe it. His magnum opus, the Mishnah Torah, and everything else that he wrote, which is really absolutely stupendous.
Chiburim.
I'm sorry?
I just said Chiburim.
Chiburim, okay. All the Chiburim of the Rambam, and he spent an enormous amount of time. He writes, he had to deal with the Caliph and the Sultan and all types of other issues. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah's position, this is one of the places I'm going to discuss another place in the Mishnah Berurah where he says more explicitly in the second place in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes that he refers to another machlokes, which we'll get to. I mentioned it a moment ago in the Gemara Daf Lamed Hey, namely in Brochus, the famous machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Shimon Yechai. Shimon Yechai felt that one should devote all of one's time to the study of Torah, and Rabbi Shmuel said, no, Hanigman Minig Da'acheretz. There the term Da'acheretz is used by Chazal, the language of the Gemara. Da'acheretz refers to working. And the Gemara there has the following statement at the end of that whole discussion. The Gemara says, Abai contended, Har b'yasuk, Rabbi Shmuel, v'also b'yadon, And that seems to be not necessarily a statement of psak, but clearly an eight satova kamashmalon, a kivun, and according to some, even a psak, that we paskin not like the position of Rashbi, of Shimon Yechai. We paskin for the robe of Klal Yisrael, that's how the Bi'a Alocha writes elsewhere, and this and many others we'll discuss in Yetz Hashem. For robe of Klal Yisrael, it's clear the position is Hanig Ben Minidacharetz, that there's an obligation to work and to find sustenance, to find a pranasa, to find some particular umnis that's matim to me. And generally, you see clearly the Mishnah Berurah in two places that he indicates we do not pasul Rav Noroi, except in the second place, the Bi'a Alocha notes that Rav Noroi, or if you will, the position of Rav Shimon Yechai, is for Yechidei Sgula. In other words, it's not that that position at all does not exist. On the contrary, it does exist, but it exists for individuals who are clearly of unusual, extraordinary caliber, that they should obviously follow the position of Rashbi or Rav Noroi, and we'll get to that in Yitz Hashem a bit later. So this is one approach to resolve the contradiction between the Machlokes Tanoim, namely the Bi'a Alocha, both here in Shin Vav and also elsewhere, that we don't pass the essential Rav Noroi. It's possible that a Jew should be able to do both concurrently, should maximize the study of Torah while finding some parnasa, finding some umnis, which will enable him to sustain his family. I think I mentioned before that once under a chuppah that was conducted by Hagoyin Rav Avram, Hagoyin Pam Zechatzag de Bracha, I was lucky to hear his shmuzin as a youngster, as a teenager, when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. I used to travel. My father, Vashon, thought that it was a good idea. On Friday, I had no high school. So my father thought it was a good idea. I should travel on the subway to Brooklyn, to Williamsburg, where Yeshiva Torah Das was located. And this goes back many, many decades ago. I was a young man, 13 years old. And my father was frightened that who knows what I'm capable of doing Yom in the Pagra, on a day which is essentially, there's nothing to do, a whole Friday, a whole Erev Shabbos. And so it was a 2-hour train ride, and then I came to the yeshiva, and he would, the shmuz, he said, the sicha, he said to the avrechim of the kollel, I was the youngest, I was not an avrech. I was a simple 13-year-old fella, and sitting, he put me right in front of him, right in front of the Rosh Hashiva. That's how I became very, very fond of Hagoyin Rapam, who was unquestionably, I was told later on in 1983, when I was meeting with Hagoyin of Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, he told me that the Rav Pam was the Chavetz Chaim Shel Doreinu. That's how he described him. And then at one point he called him that, and then he said others call him Ashtik Chavetz Chaim. He's a piece of the Chavetz Chaim. And that's what he was completely. He was he personified the Chavetz Chaim. He was just such a remarkable personality and such a varmkeit, such a charisma, such a goin, and such an anova, such a pashtu, such a tznius. I never met anyone like that in my entire life. Musik midvash v'nef is tufim from every single standpoint, and he had a big hashpah in my life at a very young age. The shmuzim were in Yiddish, but I grew up in Yiddish. It was my mamaloshin, so it wasn't a problem. He spoke a yeshivish in Yiddish. It wasn't so difficult to grasp, to understand. Anyway, the reason why I'm mentioning that, because he a number of times discussed the issue that I am talking about, namely this conflict between Rav Noroi and the Machlokes Tanoim that I mentioned earlier in Kedushin quoted in Shin Vav, and also the Machlokes between Rav Yishmael and Rav Shimon Yechai. And undoubtedly, as I said, the Mishnah Berurah is clear in his position. One is obligated to do both simultaneously. Again, the question of the ratio of one to the other, of course, one should max out on the Torah side to the extent that one can, but one is obligated to make a living. So the story goes that I'm under the chuppah of Rav Pam, and they're waiting for the all the accoutrements of the wedding were not there. There was no becha, there was no wine. It was unbelievable what was going on. There were hundreds of people there. So in the meanwhile, he didn't realize the microphone was on, and he begins to speak. He always spoke in Yiddish, and even though he spoke English fluently, I'll tell you another story in a second. The second story is as good as the first. But anyway, the first, so he tells the chassan, who happens to be getting married to a young woman who's getting a PhD, which is very unusual then. This young man learned at the Kollel, he's going to learn the Kollel in Torah Das, and he's marrying a young woman with a PhD, and he tells her the following. He tells him and her, and I'm there. I'm one of the Eidim, actually under the chuppah. So he says, Shtei Dochin Ksuba, it says in the Ksuba, I'm no Eflach, I'm going to work. So he looks at the Chassid and the Kollel, says, Zee, she's going to be the working. I'm no Ezon, I'm going to sustain. Zee, she's going to be sustaining. Afarnes, Zee, Achalkel, Zee, Aseiver, Zee. It's all her. So he didn't realize the mic was on. And a moment later he says, "Nu, what's left for the chassan?" He says, "Chach oikir, maybe you'll honor your kala, maybe you'll be mechabita." Says that in the ksuba also. The whole place burst into laughter. I was absolutely, even Rabbi Palm was a bit taken aback, but he had such a beautiful sense of humor. It was amazing. So I learned from that, wow, what are you saw? You saw is that really I should support my wife. Most people don't get that far in ksubas. They only learn the first parak till dafes, and they don't get past that. Mamela, they never heard that in the middle of ksubas, there's an obligation to support your wife. So it's not, they're not shouldering. They're not to be blamed for that situation. I'll just tell another cute story about HaGoyin Rav Palm Zatzal. I was very, very fond of him. He came to St. Louis, Missouri. I'm speaking here to two South Africans, wonderful South Africans, one in Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, so Missouri is the United States consists of different states. And Missouri is it's considered to be the gateway to the West. Actually, three South Africans, Vez Mia. Anyway, so almost a rove. The gateway to the West, that's Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri, I lived there for 3 years. So they have a Vat HaIr. There's a chief rabbi, one of the few cities in the United States that has a chief rabbi. It's amazing how that's possible. You probably all are aware of the history of the first chief rabbi of the United States, Rabbi HaGoyin Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. And they took care of him very quickly. Trying to have a chief rabbi in the United States is a steer him and they obey. It's an oxymoron from every standpoint, every perspective. Whatever the case is, but Memphis is not, I know Memphis is great, but Memphis is not, I believe, outside the borders of the United States, as far as I know. Even though they have a southern drawl, I asked our Memphisian, how come he doesn't have a southern drawl? I don't know what happened over there. But Kitzer, Rabbi Palm was invited to deliver, there was a new Rav that came to the city, a new Rav HaIr, HaGoyin Rav Shalom Rifkin, Zechatzar Debracha, wonderful, wonderful person. I was in St. Louis, Missouri at the time that he was the chief rabbi. He was a very close Chassid Chabad, close to the Rebbe, Zechon Lebracha, and his father Tiferes Tzion. Trust me, Rav Weiss, I have the Sefer. I've even gone through several Shtiklach in the Sefer. Anyway, but the... I'm quite aware of Akdama. Okay, I don't want to lose the sight of the trees in the forest over here. We'll get totally off the course. But Rabbi Palm's invited to be the guest speaker. So it's the dinner took place for the Rav HaIr, the installation of the Rav HaIr is about 1,000 people in the Marriott Hotel in St. Louis. And Rabbi Palm gets up, he's introduced, and he begins to speak in Yiddish. This is St. Louis, Missouri. Rabbi Shor, Rabbi Frankel, whoever is all the Rabbanim are here. You can't imagine. St. Louis, Missouri is not New York City. It's not Williamsburg. It's not the Lower East Side. It's St. Louis, Missouri. People don't exactly speak Yiddish there. That's not the mamaloshin of that particular area. So it's like going to South Africa, maybe going to Rabbi Shor Shul and speaking in Yiddish over there. I imagine maybe more people there would understand it than over there in St. Louis, Missouri. So suddenly the MC comes running up to the podium and hands Rabbi Palm a note, which obviously said that, please, Rosh Hashiva, could he speak English? I'm sure that's what the note said. I didn't see it, but I imagine that's what happened. Rabbi Palm stops, literally, in medias res, in mid-track, and makes the following announcement. First, he apologizes to the tzibur for being matriach them, for being mitzayer them. First, he apologized in Yiddish. That was the hilarious part. The fellow told him to speak in English, so he apologizes in Yiddish. Number one, and then in English. And then he provides a simultaneous translation. And I hear he speaks English fluently. I was astounded. His English was impeccable, absolutely impeccable, with a bit of an accent, but not much. And then he says, he made the following statement in St. Louis, Missouri. This, I believe, was in 1981, if I'm not mistaken. So he announces, "I'm a proud graduate of Brooklyn College." Rabbi Weiss, I don't know if you hear that statement. This is Rabbi Palm, the Gadol HaDor, the Hashiva of Torah V'Das, making that statement. And because I'm a proud graduate of Brooklyn College, I speak English relatively well. And he apologized profusely to the audience. And then he began to speak English. And the rest of the Russia that he gave was conducted in English. I was astounded by his entire deportment at that moment. I was just taken aback. But I knew who I'm dealing with. He was somewhat of stature beyond belief. Okay, let's turn to the second approach, which is that of the Marsha. Now, the Marsha is in slightly small print here on page number 2. So I don't know that I'm going to be over at Tzar Bali Chaim and compel you to read this Marsha. This is Marsha in Kedushin. It's actually found at the end of Kedushin. At the end of Masech's Kedushin, that's where the Marsha weighs in on this issue. And essentially, the position of the Marsha is not radically different than that which we just saw a moment ago, but he essentially contends, the Marsha, that one has to make the Torah Keva and Nesarai. There's no machlokas between these two statements of Rav Noroi. It's true, Rav Noroi said that Einim Lamed Es B'ni Ela Torah, and the other statement is that one has to teach umnis. So he felt what Rav Noroi was stressing was the centrality of Torah study. That has to be the keva. That has to be the fixture. That has to be the predominant area of my life, the study of Torah. And undoubtedly, umnis is also very much in place. However, that should play second fiddle. That should be secondary to the study of Torah. The study of Torah should be preeminent, should be the central feature of my life. If you look at the Marsha, I'm not sure I can, it's fair to be mitzare you, because the print is actually, I see now it's quite small, the print that you have in front of you. But the Marsha, it's kedai to look into it if you have a chance, Bli Neder, and you'll see that he essentially makes the following statement. I'll just read one part of it, a small part of it. He says, Rav Noroi, dekama meniach ani kolumna shabolam en melam nesbi ala Torah, vade lo polok. He doesn't argue on the first statement. Everyone has to study a craft. He puts that word, he interposes that word, interpolation over here in the Gemara. When Rav Noroi said, Meniach ani kolumna shabolam en melam nesbi ala Torah, the making the umnis into a keva, that's what I'm going to put aside. That's what I'm not going to make it the focus of my life. So the Torah becomes the keva, and umnis becomes the arai. When the Gemara said that when a person is young, full of vigor, full of strength, and then a person is able to obviously engage in that particular craft, the trade, the profession that he studied, that a person can take upon himself, can undertake even an umnis that's heavy. When he becomes older, or God forbid, he's infirm, he's sick, then he's not able to engage in that kind of malach with the same kind of strength and vigor. So essentially, the way he resolves the issue is not radically not dissimilar from that of the Mishnah Berurah, but he essentially understands Rav Noroi's statement that Torah should be keva. That's what Noroi meant. But umnis obviously also has to have a place, and there's no machlokas between Rav Noroi and the other Tanoim with reference to this matter. He goes on actually to describe, I sort of circled it, if you look in the Marsha, there are three circles in the middle, and he writes that when a person engages in activity, there are three factors that are responsible. Namely, number one, hishtadlus. That's critical. A person has to make whatever hishtadlus. We've spoken many times about this, and hishtadlus is a function usually of where a person is at in terms of the bitachon and the like. Number two, he writes mazel. And he quotes Chazal, chayi bonai mezonai la b'schusa tali milsa la mazola tali milsa. When it comes to a person's life or children or mezonos, that has nothing to do with one's chusim, but rather it's totally on mazel. There's a very famous stira. The Ramban actually deals with this stira that the Gemara has in Shabbos, that ain mazel to Yisrael. And there's a statement in Chazal, hakol toli b'mazel, afil sefer Torah shebaheichal. Usually you could have an Aron Kodesh that has many sefer Torah, and we use the same two or three the entire year, all the time, unless the owner of the sefer Torah somehow insists that my sefer Torah be used as well. Somehow that seems to be a mazel digger thing. Hakol totally be mazel to the sefer Torah shebeichal. So there's a stira here. On the other hand, everything's totally on mazel. On the other hand, ain't mazel Yisrael. So the Ramban many times in the Chiddush Ramban in Shabbos and the Ramban in Chumash, when Avraham Avinu is taken out by Hashem and he tells him that you should go outside and look at the Shamayim and see the Kochavim in Tuchad Lisparosam. So Rashi says, "Say me it's Dagninu Shalcham," a very famous Rashi. Ain mazel Yisrael. So the Ramban understands that to mean we are beyond the mazalos. It doesn't mean that we are not subject to mazalos. The entire world is subject to mazalos. We know everyone checks their zodiac sign on a daily basis. There are even some fine, wonderful Jews who do that. There's a question whether that's the proper thing to do or not. Probably it's not. But we are beyond the mazalos. We're not governed by the mazalos. We're not governed by the tides. We're not governed by all the forces that operate out there. We are directly under the Hashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach. There's a Hashkocha protest of Klal Yisrael. So that's the second factor, says the Mashal. The third factor he writes is Bishus Godol Hamishane Mazel. A person can change his mazel. Hakol of his chuso. Depends on all his chusim. So there he has a whole discussion, the Mashal, on this particular issue. But essentially, there's no contradiction because Torah should be Keva and Umnah should be Arayin. I'll just mention one more approach, which is that of a number of Gedolei Achronim, including on page 3, a famous tshuva of Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. The tshuva was written regarding insurance. This is a big machlokes of Moshe Feinstein and the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal, whether one should purchase insurance. Chofetz Chaim was opposed to it. He felt that it is a chisaron in one's bitachon, and if one purchases insurance, then one could be subject to all kinds of things that would not happen if one relies on bitachon. And Moshe Feinstein and many other Gedolei Yisrael disagree with that position. So that's the particular issue that's being addressed. Rav Moshe Wright said there's no problem with a person purchasing insurance. And he said not only can one purchase insurance, it's no different than engaging in business. That not only is a person allowed to engage in business, he's mechuyev to do so. He's mechuyev to engage in panosis. Could I just see just parts of the tshuva? I'm reading where I underline the tshuva. So he writes here, "Du b'chol inyoni mischa she'adam lo rak shevashoi, ela gam mechuyev lasos mischa v'avodon lepanososo." Also, the Loma is not allowed to say Shavim lo yasiklum Yasmin la Hashem is brach panasos of Ezo Ofen, that Hashem will somehow sustain him without his doing anything. Diminolo sheishol schus kaze, as the Masha said, who says that he has that merit, that he's that worthy, that meritorious? Levato iso lismachalanes. Even for someone who feels that I could rely upon a miracle, af elu sheruim leosos lamdes, even great tzaddikin, but ain't somchan alanes, it's a cloud godol. The Osir, after his father, she asked Hashem is brought, Gamim Furish, the Brachas. He quotes the Gemara in Brachas, that man, shall he rot and shall tell it ishi Zachok, Shimu Beres, or is that Tvila Shob? And the Gemara asked the Kasha over there from Leah, that even though she was Mispala when she was Muberes, that the Zachok should become a Nikeva. So apparently, even Leah among the Emos, that it was not permissible for her to daven, even though she was certainly worthy of having an ace happening to her, etc. So the answer that Moshe Feinstein Zatzal writes over here is that it's clear that one should not be so mechanism. And then he writes where I have the indentation, v'imkein v'adei she'osu lismok she'ishach la'ashem esbarach panasosu v'lo shum avodo mischar. One is not allowed, it's osir, to rely on the fact that Hashem will send me panasa and without doing any kind of labor. After you tzarch later, she'kol ma'ashem atriach, he should know whatever he does is only from Hashem esbarach. Well, it was Nikzah Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Beitzah. But in Kol Mekom, Kach Nizu Hashem Yisbarach, Shavach Yidei Maisi Avodu Mischar, Yishlach Lo Hashem Yisbarach Panasos, and Mitzat Shanem, Rav Zeh Asabach Atoch Alechem, the Gemara in Kedushin, that he quotes. And even according to Rav Noroi, and here he asks the question. The Stira that we mentioned is asked by Digris Meisha as well. He says, even according to Rav Noroi, Shom, Shom, Meniach, and Yikolum, Shabayelum, and Lamed Yisbini Alatera, Shemash, Veshem, Mechuyav, Lahav, Lamed Yisbini Umnis, Nami Poshut Shigamhu Mode Shein Lismach Alanes. So what exactly was Amorai talking about? Says Agon Moshe Feinstein, a major chiddush. Avol Soibe Shekevin Shiro Bnei Adam Bekatnusam. Eif Shalahem. When they're young, when a person is still a child, he's not able. Eif Shalahem Lalami Torah Karoyim Yilvudu Ozgam Mumnas Afiz Manam. Basically, Rav Moshe writes the following. When is Rav Noroi describing the phenomenon that he talks about? And the malamin is b'ni ala Torah. That's when a person is young. But unquestionably, when a person becomes an adult, when a person is older and you have responsibilities, a person is married, and the like, there's no question you're obligated to study and to learn umnas, a trade, a profession, a craft, in order to be mefarnes anshei beisecha. So Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein, again, if you look in the second column, also he once again reiterates the same idea, and even on the top of it, he quotes the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Samotera, Avshe Bekadnusa, Mashva, Sheposku, Rav Noroi, You're not to teach your child to craft at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We don't find such an obligation. In the middle, he writes, so there, obviously, when a person is young, one should focus, one should max out on the study of Torah, but certainly when a person becomes older, becomes a young adult, becomes someone who's going to take on the responsibility of a marriage and sustaining a family, which is mechuyav to do, so then there's no question that a person has to engage in the study of umnas. So far we saw actually three different mahalchim. They're not so different one from the other, but there are shades, nuances between the three of them. The Bi'a Halacha indicates clearly we don't pass the Rab no Roy, and one could engage in both Malacha and Torah. One should, of course, max out on Torah. The Mashor contends that Torah should be Keva, Umna should be Arai. There's no machlokes between Rab no Roy and the other Tanoim. And the Igros Meisha, Agon HaMasha, finds that Sal argues that Rab no Roy is talking only about when a person is young, but once a person becomes older, there's no question, there's an obligation to engage in umnas. Okay, and Yitz Hashem, we're going to continue this matter. There are other mahalchim, other tirutzim, and then we'll try to focus in on other issues. And after the excursus in halacha, we will then have an excursus in agada as well. And I will share with you some of the thoughts that I heard from a number of Gedolei Yisrael. And this time I will focus primarily on that which I heard from Hagoyin Aban Soloveitchik, Zechatzal Debrach.
The Chicago.